南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。
As rulers of Japan persecute me, Nichiren, who prosecute the fountainhead of slanderers of the true Dharma, heavenly gods feel pity for me, and terrestrial deities are angry at these rulers, causing various calamities. You had better remember, therefore, that since the most important Dharma in the world is being preached now, you are witnessing the best omens, or the strongest omens. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. We continue with selecting the right time and Nichiren's scholarship of the Lotus Sutra and the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha. Welcome. I'm Sifu Sylvain with you. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for participating and supporting this channel. This is our Bodhisattva channel for resources, study resources, support, and maybe a little inspiration thrown in to keep our practice strong, to be kind to ourselves and others, and to grow our Buddha presence in mind. Yeah? Like, subscribe, do all the YouTube things. They are necessary. And you can use these videos to help you communicate with others in a very bodhisattva way. So here we go, continuing with the Gosho on selecting the right time. Nichiren uses the common hyperbole we're accustomed with in these teachings, in these exhortations. He's, of course, talking to people of his own age. I don't mean chronologically, but his time, our time. And he's addressing people the way they're accustomed to thinking in these terms of heavenly forces. But just to reiterate, even though this dialogue seems to imply outside forces, Buddhism is completely antithetical to that. So what Buddhism basically says is that you are ultimately in control of your own life. Shakyamuni's been saying this since he redefined the word karma when he started teaching Buddhism 3,000 years ago. Is that the things that happen in the universe, the things that seem to come from outside of you, are not, in fact, outside of you. No more than your image in a mirror is outside of you. The image you see in a mirror is produced by you. The mirror is simply a provisional thing to assist your experience of experiencing your life. But no one would make the mistake of thinking that the reflection of themselves in a mirror was actually something outside of themselves influencing them, or that there's any essential portion of your body and your physicality that exist in the mirror. And this is why Nichiren often uses the analogy of the reflection of the moon in the water on a still pond. Only a fool would reach for the moon in the pond as though they were going to feel the moon. Yeah? So please understand, the hyperbole is about the world we experience through, that gives us a reflection of our own mental experience, not some outside force. So always keep that in mind. Nichiren goes on It is pitiful that all the people of Japan are about to fall into the hell of incessant suffering. It is my great pleasure, however, that I, though unworthy, am able to have just planted the seed of Buddhahood in the bottom of my heart. So once again, this Nichiren always reminding us that I, Nichiren, I'm just a guy. I'm a guy who's dedicated his life to figuring out this accurately, what Shakyamuni was saying. What is Buddha? How do I practice, invoke, do as Siddhartha Gautama did and awaken this Buddha knowledge, this Buddha perception, experience, mind? Yeah? So in that effort, again, just a mind, just a body like Siddhartha, exercising a power of mind that is emergent from this apparatus, this body, this humble vehicle, and yet I can perceive and experience the ultimate of life. And I see that. I understand that. I understand what Shakyamuni said, what Tendai said, what Dengyo said. And I'm looking around me at all these fools who are using these teachings, not for this brilliant opportunity, but for political, egotistical, what? What are you doing? Right? We have that very same situation today. Many, if not all of you, are very much aware of groups and sects and people who are using the words of Shakyamuni Buddha and the scholarship of Nichiren to lay some claim to superiority, to accrue stuff. The very opposite of what Buddhism is about. So yeah, Nichiren, we talk a lot of Gosho on this channel because Nichiren is our mentor, our contemporary example of how to get our mind right. Yeah? So he continues here. You shall see that such a time will soon come when the great Mongol Empire will attack Japan and several tens of thousands of warships. All the people of Japan, from the emperor down to his subjects, casting aside all the Buddhist temples and Shinto shrines, shall recite in unison, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, and holding their hands together in Gassho, they will cry, please help us. Please help us, Monk Nichiren, please help us. Yeah, he's being optimistic. He's saying that the teachings that he's holding high as the way things ought to be, and all of his remonstrations will, in the final moments of their attack and demise, be heard. And these egomaniacs who are running the countries and these other false monks and priests, whatever you want to call them, will all come running to Nichiren for aid. Once again, as though Nichiren is the source of the aid, they just need to practice correctly. They don't get it. But it's optimistic in the sense that Nichiren believes they're that smart. They are like King Mihirakula of India, who attacked a neighboring ruler, King Baladitya, only to be captured and had to apologize to King Baladitya with hands together in Gaisho. The Taira no Munemori of Japan, the head of the Taira clan, who was defeated and captured by Minamoto clan, had to show respect to Kijiwara Kagetoki, a Minamoto vassal. They represent the principle that the conceited will have to submit to their enemies. But that's assuming that the conceited finally see the truth. How many conceited people have we seen in history who use their submission as a ruse just to last longer so they can once again rise up with their egos? This is why I say Nichiren saying that they all come running to him and actually chant the Daimoku. It's kind of optimistic to think that they'd really sincerely do that. And even if they did, how long would it last? It's profoundly sad. Those self-conceited monks who had slighted and abused Bodhisattva Never Disparaging, from the Lotus Sutra, right? Story. At first beat him with sticks and pieces of wood, but later they regretted what they had done, holding their hands together in gassho. Devadatta, who had tortured Shakyamuni Buddha until he bled, chanted Namu at the moment of his death. I'm here. I respect and revere you. Namu. Not Nam. Namu. It's two things. It's I am fully present and I am now committing. Committing to what? Committing, the opposite side of committing is the profound reverence for what it is being committed to. See, that's a very complex thing, mu. Can't just drop it or concatenate it or whatever some people do. It's ridiculous. If he had said Namu Buddha, he would have not fallen into hell. However, because of his negative karma, his momentum, his kinetic energy of all the causes he had made prior, he said merely Namu without saying Buddha. He didn't invoke that which he was present and committing to. See how important that is? High priests of Japan today, too, seem to say merely Namu, although what they would like to say is Namu Nichiren Shonin. What a pity. What they should be saying is Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, not Nichiren Shonin, right? So he's at once pointing out the ego, the avarice of the physical identity of things, rather than the critical, fundamental source of everything and the perception of that source, Myoho Renge Kyo, Buddha. Three outstanding predictions. Now, Nichiren's going to make some predictions, but they're outstanding predictions, so I'm sure what he's going to do is verbalize predictions that Shakyamuni had made of this situation. It is said in a non-Buddhist writing that those who can predict things before they actually take place are called sages. In other words, they can see clearly the causes being made and the potential effects. It's not that they can see the future so much as they can see the present and what it's bound to result in. In Buddhism, those who see life in the past, present, and future are called sages. I made three outstanding predictions. So these are Nichiren's predictions. First, on the 16th of the seventh month of the first year of Buno, 1260, upon my presenting my Risho Ankokuron, treatise on spreading peace throughout the country by establishing the true Dharma, to the former shogunal regent, Hojo Tokiyori, I told lay priest Yadoya, an entourage of Tokiyori, quote, please tell the former regent to prohibit the Zen and Pure Land schools. Otherwise, fighting will break out within the Hojo clan and Japan will be attacked by foreign powers. It was very clear that these practitioners of Zen and Pure Land that were very strong in these particular clans that were in an area of Japan that was vulnerable to attack because they were practicing incorrectly and with ego and avarice and manipulations of each other. They were destroying themselves from inside their own land holdings and hierarchies and so on and so forth. And that would produce weakness. They would drop the ball. They wouldn't see what was coming because they'd be so self-interested that they would miss all the signs and invasion would happen, right? So this is not predicting the future. This is saying, look at our line of defense is populated by a bunch of greedy egomaniacs. They're not performing their duty. Because their mind is clouded with all of this avarice and stupidity. If you get them to stop practicing that foundation that provides for their ego and stupidity, and get them to start practicing correctly, they'll be alert. They won't be interested in one-upmanship and manipulation. They'll be all focused on the job at hand. That's all Nichiren was saying. In the second place, about 4 p.m. on the 12th of the 9th month of the 8th year of Bunei, 1271, 11 years later, I declared to Heino Simon Nojo, when he came to arrest me, Amatsu Bagayatsu, that persecution you might remember, quote, I, Nichiren, and the chief support of Japan. Again, sounds like an arrogant statement, right? But what he's saying is, me, the humble fisherman's son, am the only one who's speaking truth to power. I'm speaking the truth. That is the only thing that can save our country. Of course, to Heino Simon, he probably sounded like an arrogant ass, right? When you kill me, you will cut the pillar of Japan. Realize the cause you're making. Before long, there will be a civil war in which the Japanese people fight amongst themselves the foreign invasion and foreign invasion, in which many people in Japan will not only be killed, but also captured by foreign invaders. Things are going to get nasty. You're getting rid of the only voice of reason, essentially, is what he's saying. Unless all the temples of the Pure Land and Zen schools, such as Kenchoji, Jufukuji, Gokurakuji, Great Buddha, and Chorakuji are burned down and their priests all beheaded at Yagahama Beach, Japan will be bound to be destroyed. That's quite a thing, he just said. Of course, Nichiren isn't propagating the idea that we should behead people. But he's living in the age of the samurai. And that's the only thing they understand as a discipline and punishment. So he's using the rhetoric of the day. He's speaking to those in context of what they understand is the rule of the day. He's not promoting it. Nichiren goes on, in the third place, last year, on the 8th month of the 4th, on the 8th of the 4th month in the 11th year of Bunei, in 1274, 3 years later, I declared to Heino Simon Nojo, evidently, he didn't get killed in that first attempt. Since I was born in a land under the Hojo's control, my body appears to follow your order. However, I cannot obey you by heart. In other words, I'll feign respect and do as you say in appearance, but you won't move my heart, won't move my mind. There is no doubt that Pure Land Buddhism leads to the fall into hell, and Zen is the work of a heavenly devil, a manipulator. Especially the Shingon school of Buddhism is the cause of calamities in Japan. Therefore, Shingon priests should not be entrusted to perform meditations, prayers, whatever you want to call them at that point, I don't know that there's much of a distinction. Again, I'll make that distinction. The word prayer indicates receiving salvation from somewhere outside oneself. Like the image in the mirror is more important than what it reflects. It's derision. That's why I never use the word prayer in terms of Buddhist practice. We meditate. That's an internal consideration of our mind. We recognize that that's where everything exists, not in some mythical, mystical space. So prayer is a non-Buddhist term, right? To perform prayers for the expulsion of the Mongols. Please, Buddhas, Amida, whatever, Bodhisattva, please extract these invasion forces from Japan. They've made it in here this far. If you're going to stand in the middle of a rainstorm and look to the skies to make your feet dry, you're a fool. Get thyself in shelter. So crazy to me. If they're entrusted with this great task, they will only speed up the destruction of Japan. They're just calling more attention to they're baying like sheep. They're not protecting themselves or the nation. Nichiren goes on. Then Heino Simonojo asked me when, in my opinion, would the Mongols attack Japan? Since you're sure, when's it going to happen? I told him, quote, no sutras specifically state when, but as the heavens seem quite angry, it will not be long before they do. Most likely it will happen before the year's end. Once again, this is not a prediction in the Western sense that we see into the future. It's a prediction that's obviated by the causes being made. This is going to happen. You continue along this path. Right? It was not I, Nichiren, who made these three important predictions. Oh, thought that's what you were saying. I believe it was solely the spirit of Shakyamuni Buddha entering my body who made them. In other words, my Buddha mind that sees and understands cause and effect clearly, sees the flow of energies and what it must manifest. That's my Buddha mind, not me, Nichiren. That's who's made these predictions. Not me, the fisherman's son. Me, the awakened Buddha potential sees clearly. That's important to understand, yeah? That's how Buddhism works. I am overwhelmed with joy because he realizes I've awakened my Buddha-ness and that has provided me a life worth living, a life of potential that I don't even as a human can fully appreciate. I'm overjoyed at just experiencing it, which is what Buddhism is about. This is the important 3,000 existences contained in one thought doctrine of the Lotus Sutra. Exactly. According to it, a mind of any person is equipped with the seed of Buddhahood, which could grow to blossom in his mind when he upholds the right conviction. As a result, his mind could function like that of the Buddha. Exactly. This is what we're all, this is the Lotus Sutra. This is what we do. I, Sylvain, I, Nichiren, I, whom you, am now completely dedicated, completely convinced, completely confident that within this mortal coil, this samsaric physical identity, I can invoke Buddha. I can see, experience, and understand life fundamentally and easily witness without question, without fear, without doubt. Oh, look what's going on. Oh, if I water this plant, it'll grow. I see how that works. I see how that works in people's behavior and how that's reflected in our environment, because they're one and the same. Not as actual thingness, but as experience. Just like when you see your reflection in the mirror, you experience an image of yourself, but it's not yourself. It's not you. It's not in any way any part of who you are. It's just a reflection to give you an idea, to let you understand, to let you see. That's what this whole experience is. This is what happened to me, Nichiren, when I made these three predictions. It wasn't me, Nichiren, the fisherman's son, the physical apparatus for mind. It was that I was able to invoke, allow my Buddha mind, my Buddha perception, wisdom, all the different names for it, that instantiation of clarity, that it is obvious to me what was happening. Right? That wasn't through the power of my eyes, nose, throat, arms, legs. That was through the power of mind. And a mind that had been cleansed of its attachments, its illusions, its delusions. When you get those out of the way and you see clearly, it's like solving an argument between children. As an adult, you see above all of them, and you piece together from their rapid fire manipulations and opinions, and you can see the bigger picture and go, ah, I see what happened here. Right? That's like Buddha-ness. Clear up everything, right? Due to my conviction in the Lotus Sutra, I was able to see things before they actually took place. Because it's obvious. You throw a rock, it'll hit something. And depending on the velocity, it will cause X amount of disturbance, damage, injury, whatever. What is the meaning of, quote, appearance of all phenomena as they are, end quote, as stated in the Lotus Sutra? Exactly this. Without attachment, without delusion, one sees potential manifestation, energy, moving. You see momentum. You see the path it is taking, and therefore you can easily see the path it is going. Clear as the day. Yeah? Since appearance, quote unquote, is mentioned first among the 10 factors of existence, Yose So, it is the most important among them, and the Buddha has come into this world in order to expound it. The appearance of a thing. Now, what is the Buddha coming into this world? Are you still thinking that that's Shakyamuni's achievement of enlightenment and beginning his study and his teaching? You can look at it that way, but understand what Nichiren is saying here. The Buddha coming into this world is the Buddha manifest in your mind, in his mind. That is the Buddha coming into the world. That is the Buddha instantiating in your mind in the midst of samsara. The appearance of a thing represents its reality. So we can grasp its reality when we see through its appearance clearly. And in turn, we can predict what would happen in the future. What I just said. This is what is meant by Grandmaster Miao-Lo when he said that wise men know the cause of phenomena and only snakes know about snakes. Rivers come together to form an ocean. Particles of dust accumulate to become Mount Sumeru. When I, Nichiren, began having conviction in the Lotus Sutra, it was like a drop of water or a particle of dust in Japan. However, when the sutra is chanted and transmitted to 2, 3, 10, 1 million, and 1 billion people, it will grow to be a Mount Sumeru of perfect enlightenment or the great ocean of nirvana. There is no way other than this to reach Buddhahood. Ugh, the whole practice is in that last paragraph. Where are we time-wise? The second outstanding prediction. In the West, I can't resist making an analogy to the West that's really not a comparison. When we read about great Western myths about inspiration and what's the word I'm looking for? Visions. He had visions. What do we attribute that to in the West? He had visions. That he or she had their own epiphany and awakening? Or do we tend to think that those visions were shared knowledge from some omniscient other? That poor girl, poor guy, he was shown things by the almighty whatever, the spaghetti monster in the orbits. No, they had visions shared with them from these other forces. It's so stupid and mystical and foolish to not understand that the vision of your reflection in the mirror isn't created from some mystical thing that lives in the mirror. It's just a reflection of your physical apparatus. You always remind yourself and catch yourself. Question. Regarding your second prediction, when you were punished by the shogunate on the 12th of the 9th month in the 8th year of Bunei in 1271, how had you known that if you, Nichiren, were persecuted, there would be internal disturbance and foreign invasion? Well, the question is flawed, right? Nichiren wasn't saying it because I'm persecuted. This mistake is always, over and over and over again in these translations, right? And it's not discussed clearly and openly, which is why I'm doing these videos. It wasn't he, Nichiren, who was the problem. It was what he, Nichiren, had deep conviction in and was promoting, the correct practice of self-enlightenment. That's what people were frustrated with. And if you're frustrated with that and you want to terminate that and kill that, you're actually killing life. So what's going to happen if that's the way you behave all the time? You're going to damage life seriously, if not end it, to whatever level is meaningful to you. So it's no great leap that Nichiren makes these predictions. He's just stating the obvious, but they don't get that. So the question is, how do you know we're going to be invaded if you, Nichiren, are persecuted? Well, let's see how Nichiren responds. Again, if there are kings who commit evil to hinder the Buddha's disciples, speak ill of them, beat them with sticks or kill them with swords, rob them of robes or iron bowls for begging and many other things, or stand in the way of those who want to give offerings to them, we will make sure that soon there will be a foreign invasion as well as civil wars in their lands. Now, I don't know if you heard it in that rhetoric, but that's exactly what Nichiren is saying. He's saying, again, I'm repeating myself. If kings and so on commit evil to hinder the Buddha's disciple, the teaching of Buddha and the person who is the votary of that teaching, not Nichiren, but what Nichiren is promoting, that's what they're upset with. And they're thinking, again, if we cut the head off this human, that's the end of Buddhism. They don't understand that Buddhism isn't about this apparatus. It's about rising above. It's about seeing the entirety of life, not just this little egotistical power play that's always going on. We, he includes himself, will cause epidemics, famines, unseasonable storms, quarrels, fighting, and abuse among them, with those kings losing their lands before long. Nichiren continues, there are similar statements in various sutras. I've chosen this, however, because it fits me, Nichiren, and is specifically valuable to me in this latter age of degeneration. We, in this passage, refers to the king of the Brahma heaven, Indra, the kings of the devils in the sixth heaven, and all the heavenly beings and dragons in the triple world, such as the sun, the moon, and four heavenly kings. Leaders of these went to see the Buddha, swore before him, and said, during the ages of the true and semblance dharmas in the latter age of degeneration after the extinction of the Buddha, monks of evil teachings will appeal to the king, slandering those who practice the true dharma. Because they are close and friendly to the king and are revered by the king, he will uncritically persecute without reason those wise men who will practice the true dharma. Then, for some unknown reason, a great civil war will suddenly break out, which will be followed by foreign invasion. In the end, the king will lose his life and his kingdom will be destroyed. So this is, you know, we read these things as stories, right? And they are, that are expedient means. But expedient means to what? And here we come back to the words of Shakyamuni Buddha. Don't get so tied up in the stories, in the words. Try to seek beyond the words to what they are meaning, what they are saying. Stop staring at my finger. Look at what it's pointing to. In other words, all of the conceptual mental imagery that you can conjure from stories, from mythologies, from whatever, all are at play because they are all within the attitudes of your mind. And if your intent is to show that your fanciful attitudes and stories are more meaningful than life itself, then you are extinguishing life itself in favor of these fantasies, which are illness. You will end up sick. You will end up falling from that sickness. It's that simple. If you lead your life by the image in the mirror, you will not get far. A Sylvanism for you. Nichiren goes on, I am in a great quandary. When my prediction comes true, it will prove that I am a sage. But Japan will be destroyed. I, Nitrin, have not committed any crime in this life. I am only sorry that what I said for the sake of my country and in order for me to repay the debt of gratitude to my native land was not appreciated. What can I do? In addition, I was arrested and badly beaten with the fifth facile of the Lotus Sutra. Somebody took the facile of the Lotus Sutra and beat him with it, which I had kept in my bosom. Finally, I was taken through the streets of Kamakura like a criminal. So I said loudly to the heavenly beings, in other words, to all who could hear me, the sun and moon gods are still in heaven as they had been at the time of the Lotus Assembly on Mount Sacred Eagle. Yet they don't come to rescue me, Nichiren, now, when I am severely persecuted. Does it mean, first of all, that I am not a true practicer of the Lotus Sutra? If so, I will not hesitate to correct my false view right away. If I, Nichiren, am a true practicer of the Lotus Sutra, please show proof immediately all over Japan. Otherwise, the sun and moon today are great liars who fool Shakyamuni Buddha, the Buddha of many treasures and Buddhas in all the worlds in the universe. Their lies are 100,000, 10,000, and 10 million times larger than those committed by Devadatta and his disciple Kokalika. So he's speaking to people who know the stories of Buddhism, right? In prompt response, Nichiren goes on, they immediately caused civil disturbance, throwing Japan into confusion. Although I am an ordinary man, not worth mentioning, in regard to upholding the Lotus Sutra, I am the greatest man in Japan today. It's obvious what he means by that, right? It's not a statement of arrogance. It's a statement of commitment. All right, where are we time-wise? So I'm going to call it for today. This next section is titled, The Wisest in the World. So that should be interesting. And I think that'll probably take us to the end of this. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hai. We may be able, to finish this selection of the right time in the next sitting. We'll see. It's not important to finish. It's important to understand. So in that regard, your comments are essential. Let me know. Let me know what you're thinking right now. Your experience. How you're using Namo Myoho Renge Kyo to differentiate your human life from your enlightened human life. Your Buddha, right? I keep saying your Buddha, but it's really your experience of Buddha. Buddha is a singular vision, but it's a vision you are instantiating in your mind. That's why the possessive. Okay? Thank you so much. Like, subscribe, please subscribe. It helps us expand this channel's reach. Our bodhisattva work happens through that and our own individual efforts, but collectively, the sangha, it's important. So please subscribe to those patrons who make all of this supported. In addition to every ounce of energy I can pour into it, there are expenses, there are blah, blah, blah. You know the story. So those of you who can support financially, you're amazing. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I thank you. We all thank you. And with that, keep up your strong practice, conviction, confidence. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Be kind to yourself. Have confidence. But understand, we are in samsara. We are in crazy times. So that means protect yourself. Watch your health. All right. I will see you in the next one. Promise. All right. Thank you and bye for now.